and welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that after the show has aired, you can also go to our website, which is www.nagb.org.bs. And if you go to the Learn menu and scroll down to Blank Canvas, you can listen to the show all over again, or you can forward it to your friends if they missed it, or you can listen to it again, or whatever you'd like to do. You can also look at pictures of who's ever been on the show, and you can also, while you're there, go to our calendar and look at what is happening at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, because aside from our Humane Society puppy adopt-a-thon portrait making dog workshop on Saturday the 13th of October, we have a whole bunch of other stuff happening constantly at the National Art Gallery. In October, for example, we have the season at Fiona's Theatre with Shakespeare in Paradise, which will be on October 9th and 11th in Fiona's Theatre, the lovely outdoor amphitheatre. We have a teacher seminar happening on the 18th of October. No, on the 20th, I'm sorry. Saturday the 20th, we have an upcoming teacher seminar. So if you're a teacher and you want to learn about how to get art into your classroom, you can sign up for that. You do not have to be an art teacher. We teach math teachers. We teach French teachers. We teach geography teachers, all about how to bring artistic practice into your lessons. On October 18th, we have the beginning, finally, of the NAGB film series. It is the pre-Halloween scary double bill. We're going to be showing Rosemary's Baby by Roman Polanski and Get Out by Jordan Peele, two pretty horrifying movies. We're going to have a little chat after that. That's all free, by the way. Everything we do generally is free. The workshop isn't, because that's for the Humane Society to raise money. And then on the 26th of October, we have Friday Night Live, which is our quarterly event where there is a band and drawing workshops in the gallery, and that's from 7 to 10 at night, and it's super family friendly, and there's food trucks, and there's a bar, and there's all kinds of stuff. So don't forget to check out what's going on at the National Art Gallery. And also, Fourth Sundays, 28th of October, free guided tours in the gallery all day on Sunday. So there's always a real ton going on. So all those people that complain about there's nothing to do in Nassau just really don't know what they're talking about. Anyhow, now we are going to finally get to the artists in the show. So our Potcake exhibition, we have three artists in the studio tonight. Dahar Butler, who's a designer and illustrator. George Robinson, who's a video editor. And Thomas Hairston, who's a visual artist. And they are all new to me, anyhow. Probably not new to other people, but that's one of the reasons we did the show, was to kind of reach out and meet some other people. So I'm just going to go anti-clockwise around the table. I'm going to start with you, Dahar. Hey. Hello.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I know that we tape in the morning. Let's pretend it's night. It's night. So you have to pretend. I'm good. So you have work in the show, which is like a series of, I don't want to say comics because that might sound, but
a graphic novel, fancy
thing that people say, yeah. Really beautiful. And they look almost a little bit like storyboards as well, right? So for a film. How long have you been doing that? Is that part of your everyday practice to write stories, or as a graphic designer, are you mostly just doing sort of like things for logos for companies and things like that?
It's mostly company work, but basically a lot of my stuff, I get contact via Instagram, which is amazing. People just find me there, ask me if I could do a logo animation, because I do animation also, or just design a logo. The more the comic stuff is mostly for me, and when I started to put it out there, I got people reached out yet again. Storyboarding, they send me a basic script. Instead of wasting all the time basically filming and trying to figure it out, they just give me an idea. I storyboard it, give them some different views, some different options, and it goes from there. The comic stuff, I have some stuff published in Canada and the UK again.
Cool.
Yeah, people reach out and I just do it. I love telling the story.
Yeah,
I just love telling the story.
Yeah, well, I think as Bahamian, we're all sort of storytellers in our way, right? Yeah. So I think that's something like really deep in our culture. Did you go to any kind of school for that? Are you self-taught? Like, did you watch it? Like, I know both my daughters love drawing, and they're actually both quite good at it and very proud, but they want to go into like theater design and stuff. But one is like super into anime, And she just watches like all these Japanese movies, and she's you know, she buys books, so she goes online, like how to draw anime characters. So, you know, she's really just, again, self-teaching. Is that something you were able to do, or did you go to school for that?
Self-taught. Mm-hmm. I graphic design, motion design, just self-taught. Just sit down, get it done. And your daughter, that's exactly how I started. A lot of people start off on books. I start off on animations, probably more the adult set, but that's what I tell her. Don't stop her.
Yeah, that's amazing. But I think that's because, again, like, I think very often we, as people, always, like, they sort of wrote, like, I can't do that because I didn't get that piece of paper or whatever. So I'm always really admire people that just are like, just you know what? I'm just going to figure out how to do this. Yeah. And now you're like a professional. Sounds like you're making a good living.
I'm making an all right living.
Yeah.
I don't want to brag too much.
Yeah.
Any good for me to knock around. No, but I love doing it.
Yeah.
I just love doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better to be happy doing something you love. Sometimes, like, and get money for it, or just do it for the passion.
Then no, definitely.
Do something you really don't like and get paid for it. I've been there. It is not all that.
Yeah, no, we'll preach. I think that is a really important thing to say, because I think very often we're kind of taught like we have to grow up and make a living, which we do. Like, we all have to be self-sufficient. But if you do something you don't enjoy, you're going to end up in kind of a prison, right? Yeah. And it will actually make you miserable also to be around, so your relationships won't be great. And I always say that, like, if you look at people like Steve Jobs or Steven Spielberg or whatever, and of course they're like the extreme of the example, but they all just did something because they were passionate about it, and they all started in some like garage or kitchen, their mother's kitchen, and
Spielberg,
everyone thought they were crazy.
It was Jaws, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was maybe, but I think Jaws, didn't he do that Shrek movie?
With the truck,
I think he did a film. It was his final piece for I think when he was studying, and it was like a weird horror movie about like someone driving and they were being chased by a truck.
Oh, yeah, I had that down.
I think I watched that.
I think it wasn't. It was, you know, it wasn't called Speed because that was Keanu Reeves, but it was something like that. Mm-hmm. It was something like that. But yeah, but all those people, like, they were successful because they did something they really really love, right? Mm. So how much time do you say, like, in a day do you spend like at your practice? Is that something?
I sit at the table, and I work from home, so I sit at the table, and depends what I work in all that. Say if it's a storyboard or a comic page or whatever, I sit there. I force myself to sit there, and I never bought a PlayStation 4 or any type distractions. Mm-hmm. I don't have cable; it's more internet.
Mm-hmm.
Put my phone down, get to work. Once I check my list of stuff I need to do, once I get that done, it could be, let's say, 4 hours of sitting.
Yeah. Well, again, that's also really important. Is that I think people tend to think that like being any kind of creative is kind of play somehow, but it's not. It's like serious work, and you have to really like apply yourself. So George, you're next up. Hi. So George Robinson, you're a video editor. So I basically first got the same question for you. How did you learn that? Is that self-taught? Did you go to school for that? Because that's pretty complicated.
I did go to school for it, but I would say I'm self-taught because I was doing it from I was in high school. But after that, I went to University of the Bahamas, and then after that, I got an internship. I got an internship with Cable 12, and I did that. After the internship, I actually got a job there. I worked there for about 4 to 5 years, but then after, I studied kind of print journalism. And I wanted to really get into more cinematography, so I went off to the University of Central Arkansas.
Wow.
And then I also studied at Future Media Concepts. And that's where I studied motion. And then I just really had a passion for, when I came back, I was like, you know, television is kind of unpopular to say, but television is kind of mediocre in this country, and I wanted to change it. So, and in January, that's when I started the whole journey of trying to create this streaming platform that I called Tropic Buzz, and this particular podcast documentary is just one of the episodes on one of the series that I have on there.
Well, I saw that you have, it's like got a I can't remember what it's called, something on the rock.
Docs on the Rock.
Yeah. Exactly. So you're making this is just one of a series.
Yeah, one of 12. Yeah.
So this little documentary, which is about Pocket. So what are the other documentaries about?
Well, there is a part two of this particular documentary, and it focuses more on what was said earlier about people in Canada and different parts of the United States that really love and adore these dogs. But then in contrast, Bahamians don't usually, not to generalize, but Bahamians don't usually have that same appreciation for the ad dog. So I interviewed a lot of people in Missouri and different parts of Canada, New Brunswick, and they're all Potkegunas, and they're all, like, completely in love.
Oh, my God, that's so funny to think that there's, like, a kind of whole network of people, like, away that are like, Potcake aficionados.
There's actually a Facebook group with over 3,000 people.
Really?
Called Potcake Nation.
I've seen that.
Oh, my gosh.
And probably 90% of the people in that group are foreigners. That number could be skewed. But, and that's where I really got the inspiration to start it. Yeah.
And so what about some of the other documentaries? Like, I mean, I'm interested in the Potcakes, but I'm also just interested in, like, in your practice. So are you looking at things that are, like, a particularly, like, Bahamian for those docs on the rock?
Yeah, everything is 100% Bahamian, and it's all supposed to be conversation starters. Mm-hmm. So we put out three samples. One is called, the first one we did was Bahamian Music. The second one was the Royal Bahamian. And then the third one that we put out was Bus Culture, and that basically talks about the stigma of catching the bus and bus drivers.
Yeah.
And we're working on other ones that are going to be
interesting
in the new season.
Yeah. Listen, all they got to do, and I don't want to turn this into a political radio show, but all they got to do is get a timetable and pay all bus drivers the same, and then this situation will be solved. I love riding the bus.
I miss
being able to take public transportation so much. Because it's time for yourself. It's you can read your graphic novel or listen to whatever. I've grown up in cities and I miss that public transport. And the only reason I don't do it here is where I live, the service is awful. So there's like one bus every 2 hours because it's not that populated, right? So, and then there's no way of knowing what time the bus comes. So you know, you can just go stand by the side of the road And so I mean, you can't have a job with that. Like, and then you know, so that's you know, but if they would make it consistent. But anyway, not a political talk show. But I love riding the bus. And actually, I think lots of visitors to the Bahamas actually ride the jitneys just for that. Like, they could get on those ones that, like, do the circle routes or whatever just to get that flavor of, you know, our culture. So I think it's very typical for us. And so what have you got coming up?
Oh, coming up in Docks on the Rock.
Yeah.
We have one that we wrapped called Island Girl, which is one that I really like. It's... spoke with a lot of very successful Bahamian women. We spoke to Aisha Bo. We followed her around for a week. We spoke to Rexy Roll and a lot of Bahamian women, and it just basically tries to give you that insight that, hey, a Bahamian young woman or a Bahamian girl is a lot more than what people think that they are.
Yeah.
The foreign perspective and the local perspective.
Yeah.
And we have another one called that we have a super value involved in called Aisle 217. And that's basically talking about food security within the country.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to like subscribe. What's your channel called again?
It's called Tropic Buzz. You can find it on Facebook at Tropic Buzz, or you could just go to tropicbuzz.com.
I'm writing that down so I can say it again later. Tropicbuzz.com. I'm totally checking that out. Those are all really interesting things. So I'm going to come back to you. But now Thomas's turn. So the last artist that we have in the studio tonight. So Thomas, you've got a piece in the show, which is like this really beautiful charcoal drawing. Which I thought was really interesting. Like, everyone always associates the Bahamas with bright colors and everything's beautiful. So first of all, how did you get into being a practicing artist? And why did you pick those colors for this piece? Everyone else's is all happy dogs. Your dogs are quite sad.
I agree. Well, I'm a self-taught artist. I've always been passionate about art. It's one of the few things I can say I actually was drawn to. So even as a child, I was supposed to write a little homework book. I'm drawing in it, you know, in class, I'm drawing eyes or drawing different things. So I've always been very passionate about art. So, you know, later on in adulthood, you know, work, unfortunately, kind of got distracted. But I get back into art because I really love it. It makes me happy. It's something that I'm very passionate about. I guess in the past few years, like maybe from like 2015 or so, I've aggressively been working on my craft, my skills. I consider myself to be a multidisciplinary artist. I work in watercolor, oil pink, wash, inks, graphite, color pencil, just about ceramic, sculpture. I'll do just about anything because I'm very passionate about it. I'm trying to constantly evolve my practice and be a well-rounded artist in all fields that I find to be interesting for me.
I'm just like so impressed again, like that you know, you're all speaking to this commitment, first of all, everyone, and like sort of, you know, bettering yourself and furthering your practice. And I think it's really important for, again, everyone to know that. I think so often, you know, I think in any society it's a little bit the case, but very much here too. Like, you know, you say, oh, you're an artist or you work in the arts, and everyone thinks you're kind of like chilling out, right? Maybe drinking a beer, and then, you know, and it's kind of like a hobby, and it's fun, right? It's, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, even like you talk about filmmaking. My daughter's, again, she's interested in theater and film, but she draws. And Bahamas at Sunrise came to shoot at the gallery, and we had to be there at 3:30 in the morning. And I was like, honey, because we had to go to the airport after, and she was like, 3:30 in the morning. I said, sweetie, that's how the film business is.
Definitely,
you get up to go on shoots really early, not only for Bahamas at Sunrise, and like it's work, like it's serious work. And even being a visual artist, you all speak to your practice, right?
I interned there as well.
Yeah, you did. You interned there too.
That is a lot of work.
It is, you know. But even also being a visual artist, like people don't realize like how much time you have to give to your craft in like perfecting yourself and getting that job done. You know, Dahar, you spoke to like just forcing yourself to sit down, and you know, it's really like you have to make that commitment to your practice. And and, you know, and it's the same as any job. Like, you have to get up and you got to go do it, right? So anyway, we came to the end of a break, but we're going to come back. And after the break, we're going to speak specifically to all the work you made for the show and why you were inspired to, like, participate in the show and, you know, be at the NAGB, but also talk about potcakes and stuff like that. And then we'll hear about that later. So I'm with Thomas Hairston, George Robinson, and Dahar Butler, and we're talking about their work, their own practices, but also the work they submitted and got put in our potcake show, which is currently on show on the ground floor at the National Art Gallery in a little project space, and it's up for another couple of weeks. So we really encourage people to come take a look and discover more artists in our community. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.